Please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Read together verses 17 through 21. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example, and take note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you in weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. He made one statement in this passage that I want to say again. That our citizenship is in heaven. Paul proclaims to the Philippians here that we are not citizens of earth. We are citizens of heaven. And he tells them here in Philippi that they will be equipped to be citizens of that city. The Savior is coming with power, and He will transform them. And He tells us that He will transform us. And I don't know about you, but when I read passages such as this that says our citizenship is of heaven and we eagerly await the Savior who is coming from heaven to receive us and to take us with Him, that should bring excitement to us. And this excitement has been with us now for almost 2,000 years. And when we hear words like this, it makes us long for heaven, which is our real home. Words like this make us press toward the mark that Paul speaks of earlier in verse 14. Have you ever thought about why you want to go to heaven? And I would only assume that everyone in this room does. But have you ever really stopped to think about why you want heaven as a home? Why this is a place that you want to spend eternity in? And you know, you ask probably the majority of people on earth this. You know, they'll ask you, you can ask them, do you want to go to heaven? They say, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Well, why? And most of them, without thinking, will immediately say, because I don't want to go to hell. Well, is that the reason to go to heaven? I mean, you know, I dare say that no one in this room wants to go to hell. But I do hope that you're not here today because you fear hell. I hope that you are here today because you love God. I hope that you are here today because you know that Jesus is preparing a special place just for you in heaven. That should be why we want to go to heaven. So, just for the next few minutes, I want to answer the question, why do you want to go to heaven? I think there's more than one reason. I think maybe we should want to go to heaven because heaven is our hope. Now, we all hope things, don't we? And I don't mean, well, I hope the sun shines tomorrow and it don't rain. Well, that's one kind of hope. That ain't the kind of hope I'm talking about here. Let me ask you this. Is heaven really there? I mean, we read about it in the Bible. People talk about it every day. I mention it almost every time we come here. Is it really there? Is it a substantial place that is waiting for you and me? Do we believe that? Well, now we have descriptions of it from John, and I'll be reading some of that a little later on in the book of Revelation. Jesus says it's there. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 11, he said, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." He said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." So Jesus says it's a real place. And who would know more about heaven than Jesus Christ? I mean, it's His home. When He was here, He left His home in heaven to come here. This was never home for Him. And when He finished His work here, He went back home to heaven to be with the Father. So who would know more about heaven than Jesus? I mean, would you not believe the man who could raise the dead, heal the sick, calm the seas, walk on water, cast out demons? Wouldn't you believe what he had to say with whatever he's talking about? And he talks about heaven. And I have a hope of heaven because of Jesus and what he says about it. Heaven is my hope because of something that Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved," where? "In heaven for you." Heaven is mine because of the mercy of God. And I have a hope of heaven because of the love of God and because of the love of His Son. And it's mine. And it's yours. Heaven is my hope. Heaven is also my haven. A haven. It is a place of refuge. A place of rest. A place of sanctuary. Some of you may remember a few weeks ago in my morning sermon, I showed you a picture of a little spot on my granddaddy's farm that I loved to go to when I was younger. And I could go there and I could lay down in the midst of that grass and I could feel the breeze and I could hear that little creek behind it rushing by and I could hear the birds sing and I could see those tall pines swaying back and forth. And that was the most serene place on the face of this earth. And it was mine. It was where I could go to get away from life. A place that I could go to relax and unwind and put things aside for a while. You may have a place of that of your own. I don't have to tell you that this life is full of trouble. Job made that clear in Job 14:1. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Simply by the way this world operates, we can expect pain and trouble in life. Even by the laws of nature, the laws of gravity, the laws of motion, all can bring us pain and suffering. I've often said that if the Lord allows you to do away with something, when you get to heaven, what would that something mean? My word is gravity. Because I get so tired of dropping things. And I get so tired of falling down. You know, gravity is what does that. So no gravity for me. I guess I'll just float around. But then our suffering is compounded with all of these things in natural life that goes wrong with us. Our suffering is compounded by sin in the world. And we have people in the world who see to it that sin remains powerful and strong. We can all go back into history and learn of men like Hitler of Germany. The Emperor of Japan, I'm talking about the 40s now, World War II, and how those two regimes brought so much destruction on the world. We remember from the 70s the savagery of the Soviets and the Chinese when communism was so powerful or socialism was so powerful. We know how the millions of our youth have been sacrificed at the altar of convenience from the mother's womb because we've given choice on life now. And we forever keep in our mind the terror from the sky, always aware of the madman with the nuclear weapon in his hand. Our world's getting no better. Our world is getting worse. And then we have to add age to that. You know, I heard in places today that I didn't hurt 30 years ago. Next week I will be 61, and I'll probably hurt more then than I do now. Disease is forever rampant with us. You may have a disease and not even be aware of it until it rears its ugly head. We all suffer in one way or the other from this life. And we need a haven. And you know, the little place in Alabama is not going to do that for me when that hits me. I need a real haven, a place of escape, a place that is free of trouble, free of pain, free of sickness, free of death. Is there such a place? Well, not here. But yes, there is such a place. We find it in Revelation 21. It's a place called heaven. And it is free of trouble. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be His God. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things passed away. It's a haven. Heaven is a haven. A place free of trouble. And it is a place of rest. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11 beginning. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven say to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Did you catch that? That they may rest from their labors. It's your place of haven, my friends. Heaven is my hope. Heaven is my haven. Heaven is my home. Friends, we don't belong here. We're strangers. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, verse 11, he refers to us as sojourners, as someone that's looking for someone. We're constantly on the move. We're looking for the right thing, the one thing, the certain thing. We're sojourners. He refers to us as pilgrims. We're looking for that place that is better. We had pilgrims to come to America. We know that story well. They were looking for something that was better than what they had. Life that was better than the one they lived. So they came here looking for it. You and I today, we are in this room, and we know this is not it. We're always looking for something better. Something better is heaven. All again, our citizenship is in heaven. That's home. That's where we need to be. Paul in Philippians 1, he said, you know, I want to go home. I would rather be in heaven with my God and my Savior. But he understood that it was better for him if he stayed here because he can help other people make that journey. He knew his home wasn't here. And he said, I'm hard-pressed about this. I want to go home. But I need to stay. You ever been on vacation or on a trip and you want to go home? You know, this always amazed me. I understand it now, but when I was a kid, we made a pilgrimage, I guess it was. It was a vacation to Central Florida, a little town outside of Tampa. We had relatives there. You know, I just couldn't wait to go there. I always said, I'm going to live there someday because I love this place. We'd stay there 3 or 4 days, and boy, I could tell it, my mama and daddy, they're ready to go home. And you know, we got back in the car and we would drive because it was about a 12, 14-hour drive from where we lived. And we would drive and drive. And let me tell you, by the time we got there, I was ready to see it. It was home. My dog was there. Everything that was a part of me was there. It was home. Friends, everything that is a part of you that is important to you is there. And it's yours forever. It's home. You look at heaven with that anticipation that Paul had here. I want to go home. You want to go home? Heaven should be a desire for each one of us. It's a prepared place. As you know, and I love this passage of Scripture in John 14. And it's so beautiful because this is about me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. That last part should be making every one of us race to this point. God is there. Jesus is there. And He's preparing this place so that we can be there too. I do hope that we have all enjoyed this day, all of us getting to be together for the biggest part of the day, enjoying talking with one another, laughing with one another, being together, loving one another. Can you imagine what that's going to be like a thousandfold when we get to those gates into that city and cross through to the other side? And then on top of all of that, God is there. Can you imagine that? I have treasure there too. That's another reason to want to go. Matthew 6:19, Jesus tells us plainly, don't lay up for yourselves treasure on this earth. Why? Because moth and rust corrupts and thieves break through and steal. Rather, set yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does destroy and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Friends, where is your heart? Is it on the things that you possess here? Or is it in the treasure that's waiting for you in heaven? I have treasure there. And heaven is where my Father is. Then He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Heaven, my hope, my haven, my home. But you know, there has to be a catch to everything. In order for heaven to be a part of your home, in order for you to be able to go home, you have to become a part of his family. As Jesus said, you must be born again. John 3, most assuredly I say, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There has to be a change of life. That's why Jesus said, Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. There has to be an acknowledgement of your faith, your belief in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. And you must have your sins washed away. Ananias' words to Paul rings out to us today. Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You want to go home? That's how you put yourself in the position to go. But you know, there's even more. You have to prepare yourself for the trip. You have to live in such a way that you can receive this home. James 5:16, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Keep your life in tune with God. And if you fall, get back up. Ask God to forgive you and keep on going. And you'll end up there at this wonderful place. Your hope, your haven, your home. This afternoon, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, either to give your life to Christ or to bring your life back to Christ, we give you that opportunity now while we stand to sing.